Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The Lord's blessings to everyone in Christ Jesus today. Thanks for being here for our service. We are celebrating something special. This past week, our country celebrated Veterans Day on the 11th of November, and today we honor our veterans and military personnel as well with our Armed Forces Sunday. So things are a little different on Armed Forces Sunday, but not a lot different. So we'll enjoy some different hymns and also the pledge before we get started as well. We're glad you're here. We welcome those who are tuned in on the radio this morning too. Thanks for joining us for our service. We wish you the Lord's blessings as well. And most importantly, of course, we always are considering the blessed gifts of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what he's done for us on his cross and in his resurrection, but also what his word does for us each and every day of our lives. Is he's the one who teaches us good and evil. We'll be talking about that in the sermon this morning, and we're glad that you made it in today for our worship. We do begin a little differently, as we said this morning, so we invite the congregation to please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We continue standing as we sing our opening hymn this morning. That's hymn number 965, God Bless Our Native Land. Begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
We
confess our sins. God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. We continue with our responsive introit this morning from Psalm 121 and Luke chapter 21. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth.
The Lord is your leader. The Lord is your shade on your right hand.
The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life.
The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord, be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord, almighty and ever-living God, you have given exceedingly great and precious promises to those who trust in you. Rule and govern our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may live and abide forever in your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Our Old Testament reading for today comes from the book of Malachi in the 4th chapter. Many of the readings this morning, as we get close to the end of the church year, which, believe it or not, is already next Sunday, we'll talk about the end times a little more, about the judgment of God and these kinds of things. Malachi is certainly on those topics as well. We begin in verse 1 of chapter 4. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you, who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and just decrees that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes, and he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue now with our epistle lesson from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Finally, brothers, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored, as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men. For not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we command. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. Now, We command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor we worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we do not have that right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command: if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. This is the word of the Lord. We invite the congregation to stand now for our hallelujah and the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 21st chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
While some were speaking of the temple, how it was adorned with noble stones and offerings, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the day will come when there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And they asked him, "Teacher, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when these things are about to take place?" And he said, "See that you are not led astray. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and the time is at hand. Do not go after them. And when you hear of wars and tumults, do not be terrified, for these things must first take place, but the end will not be at once." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places, famines and pestilences, and there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, deliver you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. Settle it therefore in your minds, not to meditate beforehand how to answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be delivered up even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you they will put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance you will gain your lives. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation has come near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let those who are inside the city depart, and let not those who are out in the country enter in. For these are days of vengeance to fulfill all that is written. Alas for women who are pregnant, and for those who are nursing infants in those days. For there will be great distress upon the earth and wrath against this people. They will fall by the edge of the sword and be led captive among all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And there will be signs in the sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the seas and waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. Would you join us now in our hymn, hymn 717, "Eternal Father, Strong to Save." We'll sing the verses as they're printed in the bulletin. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The world is a confusing place, is it not? Sometimes good things happen to evil people, and sometimes evil things happen to people who seem very good. Sometimes good people do evil things, and sometimes evil people do good things. And sometimes something can appear quite evil and end up good. Or something can appear very good and end up being evil. Have you ever been through something that at the time you were going through it didn't feel very good at all? But later, looking back, you saw that in some ways, there was still good, even in difficult things. The world is a confusing place to live. And we wonder why. Why is it so confusing? I think it's because we incessantly rely on our own faculties to try to understand it. And we even will use the Bible as a tool to try to make our lives what we think good is, like a manual for us so that we can master life our own way and get from it what we want. Boy, our readings today, they don't really support that kind of perspective, do they? Where God has a plan that he's going to work out and he's going to return and he's going to come and save his people. And doing this sort of thing, even with the scripture, we can even end up taking something good and using it the wrong way. Because God is not our servant, we are his. But so many live in such a way in which they'll give the Lord and his word and maybe his church lip service, but all the while on the back end, what they're up to is they're trying to have their cake and eat it too. Not really in service to God, but still in service to themselves. What can God do for me? Is the quiet, unspoken prayer of many people's lives. But contrary to popular opinion, what's good is not defined by human knowledge, and it is not to be discovered by human endeavor. What's good is only revealed by divine revelation in the Holy Scripture, where God speaks to us and tells us what's good and what's evil. Only there can we know good. That's kind of a pill for me to stop and think about. Like, hold on, wait, what? What are you saying? I'm saying it's that simple. It's that simple. God is telling us what's good. It's not for us to discover in our lives or figure out. And he does this marvelous work through his word, through his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. He says what's good and what's evil. So evildoers may not feel evil. And good people may not realize their goodness. But God is not mocked. All the while, the wrath of God is coming upon the evildoer, who will be, as the prophet said in Malachi, set ablaze and will be ashes under the soles of the righteous. And those evildoers then are simply defined for us today as those who decide for themselves what's good and what's evil, no matter what God says, based on their own desires and their own lusts. They say, this is good. They think it's up to them, not God. In the Old Testament, Adam and Eve have this really clear moment in the garden after the temptation by Satan when they attempt to redefine what's good and what's evil. They knew clearly what God had told them, not to eat of this tree of the knowledge of, guess what, good and evil, tov and ra. But they redefined it. And since then, their progeny has done that exact same thing, all of us. And if you really stop and think about it, isn't this kind of the nucleus of sin on earth? The nucleus of evil is that we attempt to redefine what God calls good based on our own appetites. Asking God things like this: why don't you give me what I think is good for me? And then getting frustrated when it doesn't show up. If you're so good, God, then why would you not give me what I think is good? Why can't I just do and live according to what I want? And I don't want to deal with anything that I call evil. And why won't you just help me make my plans work? Also one of those hidden prayers that's going on in our hearts all the time. But blind, it's blindness. For as the Apostle Paul tells us, we're only seeing by faith through a glass dimly, and without faith, the world is blind beyond measure. Romans chapter 1 tells us, thinking that we're wise, we become fools and exchange the glory of the immortal God, what he calls good, for created things, which we then give our lives to, and all the while we think it's good. And I wonder, could we ever just give up as God's dear children and finally say what our beautiful hymn says, what God ordains is always good? Or will we continue to relentlessly push, not trusting him, not seeing that he has a perspective that's so much larger than this life, so much larger, and that one day our eyes will behold the glories that he has for us and will understand his purpose that now has us questioning even the basic fabric of our existence and what's good and what's evil, and has us all confused. Now, Jesus gets into this too in our reading from Luke, because remember the people there got real googly-eyed about the temple and the ornaments and how beautiful it all was. They thought, how good. But what did Jesus see? That a place intended to be a house of prayer was now a den of sin, and it would be destroyed. It was never the goal, even though they thought it was. He's the goal. That's more of the bigger perspective sort of way to see it, but true. It's important that we don't miss the words of the prophet here, where he says, remember the law of my servant Moses. Remember what's good and what's evil. Remember what God says is good and evil. We struggle with it so much. If it makes us feel good and it doesn't hurt anyone, then we say, what's wrong with it? While the drugs are ruining lives, while people are literally living high just to get through the day. What's wrong with it? Well, you call it good. That's what's wrong with it. God calls it evil. And it doesn't matter what I think, it matters what he says. Or, if anything comes in the way of our American dream, of our investments and our money and what we want, what do? We abort it right out of our lives. Friends, that's what's going on all around us. We can't leave or forget the law of my servant Moses and exchange it for some kind of cheap grace where nothing matters, where sin, whatever, let's not talk about that. It does matter. It's what God says is right and what God says is wrong, and it very much matters. I mean, I don't know about you, but when I was listening to these passages read today about what the Lord plans to do to those who want to define good and evil for themselves, I think it matters. These sorts of confusing things, God has straightened out in his word for us, and in doing so helped us greatly, but we are an obstinate people. I saw something amazing and something that we're very used to hearing in church. And I hope that the Lord reveals it to you as well, is that in the book of James, in the 5th chapter, in the 16th verse, it tells us how to deal with this confusion that we're all encumbered by. This confusion between what's good and what's evil. Here's what it says. Confess your sins to one another. Something we hear a lot in church, right? Confess your sins to one another. And what do we think about that? Don't raise your hand, but how many of you have ever confessed a sin to someone out loud? Probably all of us, at one time or another. How many, when we sin against a person and hurt them, but how many of us have ever gone to confession and actually said our sins out loud? Praise the Lord if you have. Confess your sins to one another. It's weird and hard. It makes us feel super vulnerable. You know what we say? What we think? That's not good. God says what's good and what's evil. We'll talk. We'll tell somebody how persecuted we are, how bad we have it, and how confusing it feels to live in the world. But how often will we just say it? The thing that we don't want anybody to know that God already knows. How often will we just confess that our love has fallen short and we've once again found a way to justify the unloving actions, the lack of kindness and patience? We'll say they deserved it. How often can we, by God's power, call sin sin and evil evil, and to confess our sins? This is what is so beautiful about this, is to finally end all the confusion. In confession, think about it. We finally admit God is right and king over our lives. That what he says is good is good. And all the confusion goes away. But it's so much just right back, rewind to Genesis. He calls to us to confess, to hear his forgiveness, so that we don't go around the world blind and confused about what's going on or what's good or what's evil. He calls us out to us and we're hiding from it, just like our first parents did. If we want to let go, we got to confess it. We got to be able to say, Lord, I didn't trust you. Lord, I don't trust you in this. And hear what he has to say to you and to me, which is, I forgive you for not trusting me in that. And he'll be your help and your stay. He'll be the shadow at your right hand. He'll be all the things our psalm told us in the intro he'd be for us. Jesus came to set us free. He rose again to release us from our delusion so that the blind could actually see and the deaf could actually have their ears open to hear what's truly good and truly evil. And it is good to trust in God rather than in us. He wants to put an end to the fear that we all live with. The fear of being found out. He wants it to go away for you, for me, for all of us. Malachi is not describing, friends, the future of God's baptized children. He's not in that first part, but in the second little bit when he says the sun of righteousness will rise and shine and that we're going to go out like calves leaping from the stall. Well, that begins right now when we leave it at the altar and we get to go out those doors leaping like calves, right? It begins now, not off some other day, because Christ is with us. According to his own word and promise, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. This is my body. This is my blood. Your baptism is the guarantee that your sins are all on Jesus, that he took them all. They're no longer yours to bear. They're no longer mine. So that we can live free and trusting in our Lord's word, we can call good, good, and evil, evil, according to his wisdom. And our whole lives, all the blessings, even for life far beyond this life, and the glorious joys he has for us, depend on this thing. That what looks like evil to us, when our Lord was nailed to that cross and bled and died, God said it was good for our forgiveness and for our eternal life. That Jesus would take our sins upon himself and that we get to live free and forgiven, trusting not in our own definitions, not in our own appetites and not in our own lusts for the definitions of good and evil, but in his word, and in his word alone we know the truth. And this is good. And it's marvelous in our eyes. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Would you stand with us now as we confess our faith this morning to the words of the Nicene Creed? I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. We now come to the time in our service for our prayer of the church. Our response for our prayers this morning is, hear our prayer. Holy God, hear us, your people, as we pray and those who pray everywhere. And grant to us all things needful and beneficial according to your gracious promise in Christ our Lord. Keep us from being led astray by those who call good evil and evil good, who speak lies in your name. Awaken within us ears to hear your word, and hearts to trust and believe, even in the face of trial and questions, even in our moments of doubt and trouble, may we be found faithful when our Lord comes in his glory to finish his new creation. Lord, in your mercy, uphold all ministers of your gospel and those who hear it gladly. Cause that the word be honored and so delivered to them to protect and guide from all wicked and evil men. Lord, give a mouth of wisdom to your people in all adversity to confess you boldly and endure faithfully to the end. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we give you thanks for the gift of our great country, for the gift of the safety and protection that you provide us through our military armed forces, through the service of our veterans. Lord, truly you have worked through them to give us great things. Lord, we thank you for their sacrifice. We thank you for the sacrifice of their family members. Lord, in all the ways that they give, that we might live the lives that we live. For Lord, we know that those in authority do not bear the sword in vain, as you teach, but for the punishment of the evildoer. We pray you continue to guide our great land, strengthen it, Lord, that it might continue to spread its protection across the gifts of family, and that within that you'd bless even our homes and all the homes in which your people dwell. Lord, make them to be places of peace that are truly centered around your word, where faith is preserved and passed on to children and grandchildren. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, you judge the world with righteousness and your people with equity. Bless us with good and faithful leaders, Lord, both in our government in our nation and in our local governments to defend your people. Raise up those who will serve the cause of peace. Lord, in your mercy. Your Christ is our rising sun with healing in his wings. Shine his light upon the sick, upon those who suffer loss and persecution for the sake of your name, those whose hearts are heavy with grief, and all who have requested our prayers this morning. Lord, we name before you from the altar the family of Ed Wiseman, Wendy Vest, Brian Hawson family, Marcus and his family, Teresa O'Haver, Cheryl O'Dowd, Betty Patton, Carly Moore, Izzy Wieskamp, Connie Hauser, Letha and Tom Hershey, Helen Almdale, Lauren O'Howe, Jeff Autopolik, Frank and Audra Rendon, Larry Reinberger, Rob and Ingrid Miller, Rupert Gallegos, Ella Gonzalez, Debbie Ford, Betty Gray, Sandy Santisteven, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Lord, in your mercy, bring us to receive with thanksgiving and faith the most blessed food of Christ's flesh for the life of the world and his blood that cleanses us from all our sins. And bless us with unity of faith and harmony of doctrine and life. By this blessed sacrament, O Lord, equip us with all gifts of the Spirit to bring harvest and rich fruits of the Spirit in the lives of your people, both now and forevermore. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, you are the strength of your people. Grant that we may not give into temptation or be caught up in evil, but endure through your grace and mercy to the day of Christ's return. We pray that we would be found holy and blameless by the power of his grace when you bring the dawn of the last day and you lead us into the place where there is no night, there is no darkness, there is no death, and there is no loss. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Blessed Lord, you have promised to never abandon us and to provide all that we need for this day and for eternal life. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, hear these prayers of your people and grant them all good things for your mercy's sake. To you, the eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be glory now and forevermore. Amen. We now come to the time for our offering this morning. Our offering hymn is on the insert in your bulletin, the Battle Hymn of the Republic. We'll sing that as the offerings are collected and presented today. Amen. If you've been joining us on the radio this morning, we thank you so much for tuning in and being here with us and wish you the Lord's blessings on your coming week. If you're gathered in the sanctuary, please turn over to page 10 in your bulletin and please stand if you're able for our service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who having created all things, took on human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake he died on the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he'd given thanks, he gave it to them saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you for joining our service today at Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa, Colorado. We hope this worship service has been a blessing to you. If you would like to support our ministry, please visit our website by searching Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. On our website, click the link for Apple or Android devices to upload our app to your phone or tablet. Our app has many resources to help you. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you this week.
KSPK, Walsenburg, Alamosa, and Trinidad, Southern Colorado's best country music. It's 11 o'clock.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Over 100